Hi, I'm Macy.
And I'm Meredith.
And we're the founders of She Hustles, a brand built for women.
We're here to create a community of like-minded women and provide a platform where you can get real advice as you work your hustle.
Welcome to the She Hustles podcast. Let's get started.
And she is going to tune in and then we're going to get started. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We're so excited.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
We're good.
I always expect a little bit of technical difficulties in the beginning, but we're here, so it all worked out.
Yes. Awesome. Well, we're going to get right into it. And this will also be recorded so that we can publish it to the podcast. So if anybody cannot join or stay on the whole time, don't worry. It'll be on the podcast next week. So I'm going to jump right in. Today, we are so excited to be talking with Tuen Lee, who is an e-commerce business coach and CEO of Bojen Breast Pump Cushions. She's grown her business to help over 30,000 women and is now coaching others to become successful entrepreneurs. She's amazing, and we're so glad to be asking her questions today. Thank you so much for joining us, too.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to be asking you some questions, but again, if anybody has any questions that they want to specifically ask her, drop them in the comment box, and we will read off your questions at the end once we kind of get through most of it. So without further ado, we want to jump in. So, Tu, can you just share a little bit with us about how you got it started with your company and then as well what your company is? Because I'm not personally a mom, but I didn't realize how integral your product is for mothers.
Yeah, so 5 years ago in 2015, I gave birth to my daughter, and I just had trouble with breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, like, I can't be the only one who had kids and can't solve this like breastfeeding problem. And so the idea of Bojen kind of came out of my own personal experience and my own kind of like challenge that I had. So I had to use the breast pump, and a lot of women, especially if they work, also have to use the breast pump. And then designed and invented a breast pump cushion, and that's how Bojen was born. And just for people out there who are like thinking about becoming an entrepreneur or like getting into this starting their own business space, I did not have any like background in entrepreneurism. I basically learned on the job everything. So it's been like a great journey and a great life lesson and everything. So it was great.
That's awesome. I have so much respect for you. You not only developed the product and like found manufacturing, like I'm just trying to create websites online and sell it and product generation, which is amazing, and testing things out. How long did that take you?
Yeah. So, I mean, just prototype building probably took, 6 months. It took a lot of like talking to women, talking to the customer, and really understanding what their pain point was. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was a problem, and I knew that there could be a solution, but I didn't know what exactly the problem or the solution was. So mm-hmm. it's like a lot of discovery work, and you have to keep an open mind, because you yourself might have an idea, but your customers will actually tell you what the real like issue is. And you don't want to build a company based on like what you think. You want to build it on what your customers need and the problem you're trying to solve for them. So it just took a lot of like iteration. I iterated on the prototype at least 40 times before we came. Yeah. In the dining room, just like, with like a whole bunch of different prototypes. I tried every single one, and over 40 times until we finally like landed on a design. And then from there had to raise money to build it. So, and then in the raising money process, I did a Kickstarter campaign. So it's like crowdsourcing. So it's like, well, I think that this is the problem that you want solved. If there's enough demand for it, if there's enough women who want to like pre-order for this so that I can go and build it, let's just test it out. So just launched it into the market and see like, do people want this? If you want it and there's enough people that want it, I'll build it for you. And I think the initial like Kickstarter might've been like something over $20,000 worth of people that committed that they wanted it. So I'm like, okay, so there's something. There's like a little bit of, there seems to be interest. So that's when we went into like the manufacturing of and supply chain of it all. So I would say in having an e-commerce, like a product-based business, the supply chain is one of the most challenging parts of, actually the whole business is challenging, but like supply chain is, supply chain is definitely one of those things that I had to learn very quickly. Yeah.
Really big things that I think you mentioned there that like stop people before they even get started. First of all, the process where you get the feedback from other people, it can be like emotionally tough, right? Because you're editing something that you developed and you have to be that feedback. And I've gone through that process and sometimes, well, that's great. And other times you're like, do they know what they're talking about? Like,
And there's definitely elements of that. And I think you have to talk to enough people because it might be an outlier. But if you see a general trend that you think one way, but most of the people think another way, then you have to really question like, well, maybe that's actually, you know, what I need to be looking at. And you almost have to like detach yourself unemotionally from the solution because it's not about you, it's about the customer. So like when you kind of switch your mindset.
Because you're saying like the idea is, and I think this is where like we struggle with starting a business is, if I'm so committed to the idea and not the
right
idea because I'm committed to that. But if you're committed to helping that community and the solution, then that feedback is a lot easier to accept. But then also like 40 iterations, like not 30.
To be honest, I like the back and forth between that, like I'd be like 10 times in, I'm like, I'm done.
But then you kind of like switch your mindset. It's like, it's not about me. It's about me potentially helping thousands of other women. So if I'm like, each time I'm just getting like a little bit closer to what the answer is, like that in itself is like strong enough for me to think, okay, let me just keep going and see if I can like actually find the answer. And then what the answer I came up with, it's not even a perfect solution. It's just like good enough. And then you just have to keep improving and iterating. Yeah, for sure. It's like definitely a journey. Like it's still a journey now. So
awesome. Okay, cool. I haven't even jumped into our questions yet.
That's such good insight.
Okay. So right now we're going through the pandemic and it's forced a lot of us to pivot and change what we've been doing in our lives and our business. What has been the biggest lesson on change that you've learned through this?
Yeah. For sure. I found that during these kind of like tumultuous times, the quicker you can get to acceptance that your normal is not normal, it's like a new normal, then the quicker you can like change your mindset and think, okay, it's time for me to evolve and adapt. Because if you're thinking like, oh, it's going to be back to normal in like a month or maybe a couple of weeks, you're stuck. And the market's going to be passing you and like moving on, right? And you don't want to be left in the dust. You want to stay in the forefront of your customer's mind in the market. So it's about like accepting like, okay, things are changing, so I got to change with it. Mm. So like you have to keep evolving. So
I was like, oh, this is going to be over in a month. I was like, back to normal in a month. So that really like convicts me.
I think you either get paralyzed because you're like, okay, it'll go back to normal, or you don't know what to do. Like, how did you decide which direction to pivot? Did you ask your customers again, or did you just like somebody is right now still trying to figure out, like, what am I doing right now? Mm-hmm. Where do you go if you're not sure what you should be adjusting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just started asking my customers. So on our Instagram and Facebook, we just put out polls like, what do you need? What do you need us to give you right now? What do you want? So it's kind of like different levels. So there's like the first level of a solution that we can provide, but what is like the level underneath that they're really looking for? Like it's some kind of emotional support. It's usually something emotional, right? So, and it's like, can we talk to that? Can we address that? And for companies who are able to speak to more of like the why of your customers are the ones who will resonate with them.
Yeah. What's the why of your business?
Say again?
What's the why of your business? So you sell a product, which is for the breast pump.
Yeah.
Find that emotion, and how did you find that?
So that's like a really good question. So Bojen's vision is to make mommying feel good. Aww. So that's it. We just want to make mommying feel good. So our product is for breast pumps and breastfeeding, but really most moms want to know that they're doing a good job as a mom. They want to know that all this hard work and effort is helping their family, helping their babies, and that they're appreciated and they're doing a good job. So we always try to like communicate that to our customers. And just like we send like encouraging text messages.
Yeah.
And like our posts on our social media, we're always trying to convey that. And then all of our product sets are always aligned with that.
That's awesome.
That's
I can say like finding that vision was not, it didn't happen from the beginning. It was like a evolving vision too. So it's everything in the business is evolving. So
yes.
That's yeah.
Okay. So obviously, you know, everything about e-com. What in e-commerce that has surprised you? Is that during COVID or?
Yeah. I mean, I guess now, or if somebody's been in e-commerce or wants to start in e-commerce, is there anything that you're seeing now or just overall in the trends surprising you or that you're excited about?
Yeah, well, that's a huge compliment, but I always think that you always have to keep learning about like your business, about your market. E-commerce is just one of those marketplaces that is changing quickly. And the thing that it surprised me is like how resilient during the whole COVID, the whole pandemic, that e-commerce is. The messaging and communication to the customers, and not just in Bojen, but a lot of like the other brands, they did a really good job in like providing that comfort and support for people who are a little bit in like a panic state.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for those who are looking to get into e-commerce, I would say like just keep learning, and the trends are always moving around. What was trendy last year is kind of, you know, like it's gonna keep changing, just like social media changes like every month with their algorithm. So yeah, and it's the same thing, like e-commerce, you have to adapt with that.
That's awesome. So you kind of answered our next question, which is, what is your advice for someone who has an online store or is thinking about starting one? Would you add anything onto that advice?
Yeah, because launching is like different than maintaining.
Right?
So
Yeah, I would say for somebody who's thinking about starting their own e-commerce store, the thing that stops a lot of people is just like thinking, like thinking too much about something. And it's not even e-commerce, like starting a new project, whatever it might be, launching a new product or something like that. A lot of people get stuck in this like, oh, let me think, let me research. It's not perfect yet. I'm not sure. I'm not ready. And it's like being a parent, like you're never really going to be ready. You just do it, right? You just go in, and then the biggest lesson is like in actually doing. So one of the things I always like preach to my clients is like just progress over perfection.
Yeah.
Just go in action, and in the action is where you'll learn and get better. So I always say, like, if you have an idea, just do it. Just try it. What's the worst that can happen? People don't like it? Okay, you try something new.
Yeah.
Right. So, and if people don't like that, you just try something else, and you just keep learning that way.
I when I first started my business, and I was working two jobs at the same time. I told myself was to just be 1% better. You know, not to like make it perfect, but just every day 1%. And so it just gave me a lot easier bites to chunk. A lot easier
chunks to bite.
Trying to just tackle everything that you have to get done to build a business. And so
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, our next question is actually might be a little juicy. What mistakes you've seen as you've coached others that are avoidable?
Mistakes. See, the thing is, I think mistakes are necessary. Yeah. It's part of the journey. If you don't make mistakes, it probably means you haven't like pushed yourself or challenged yourself. I think these failures or like mini failures are like necessary. It's like the only way you'll learn whether something is working or not, you know, and a failure is not a bad thing. So, yeah. And I would probably go back to the mistake of not doing anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think a lot of it's, I mean, I can understand a lot of people get like stuck in and wanting to be perfect and making sure everything is correct before they launch. But one entrepreneur told me that if you're not like slightly embarrassed about the product that you're launching, then you've launched too late.
Oh
yeah. So you're just like, oh, I don't really know if it's good enough, but you just launch it and then you'll see. Yeah. Like the market will tell you. The market doesn't lie. If it's bad, like you'll know.
Do you coach your clients to like before they launch something to do those mini like market tests or like refine whether they're launching a service or a product mm-hmm. before they launch to the sort of public?
Mm-hmm.
Urge them to test in those smaller like circles and get that feedback, or do you say just go all out?
It depends. So it depends on where the client is. If they're starting from brand new, mm-hmm. I say like just do a mini launch. Don't do like a full on paid ads, billboards launch. Yeah. Do like a mini launch of, you know, see if you can get 10 people, 5 people to give you feedback. And in that five, if one person gives you feedback, that's way more than you had when you didn't start.
Yeah.
So if they're in the beginning, I tell them to just do a bunch of like mini launches mm-hmm. and then they get a better idea like what their product or service should be. And then you can do like your like a full launch.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's awesome. So what COVID challenges did you face? And did they make you change any of your practices?
Oh, for sure. So something that I had actually never thought about was a business contingency plan or like a BCP plan. And like, you know, you're in a small startup, so you're like, yeah, I'm just going to keep going and keep doing what I'm doing, right? And then when certain things happen that really can disrupt like your business, you need like a backup plan and you need a backup to the backup plan.
Yeah.
And for me at Bojen, since we are like an e-commerce product business, the supply chain of like delivering goods was like the biggest thing and challenge for us because, you know, there's like shipment delays. I didn't know if they were going to shut down like shipments. I didn't know if where my warehouse was, they were going to shut down the state, you know, things like that. So because of that, my team and I began like developing a business contingency plan. So we have like multiple warehouses, multiple suppliers that we can go to instead of like relying on one. And I think that's like the biggest takeaway from what happened. And I think we'll be better and stronger after that. But it's just something like, you know, it can be scary. It's like, oh my God, I never thought about my warehouse shutting down because of the state just shut down or like UPS shut down or something like that.
I had the same when I tried to ship, we were shipping something to Spain, went and took it in, dropped it off with the shipping agent. And she was like, oh, Spain. She goes, hold on. She brings out these boxes and they're all slapped with pink stickers that say Spain is not accepting packages at this time.
Right.
Another outside country. She's like, we've had no notice. But we've got a lot of them coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, this of just realization that the world is different right now. Like you have to, you know, that portion has to change right now. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like you said, if you don't think through some of the most possible, you know, scenarios, it's like, how are you going to, you can't manage all of them at one time. So
Right. So I think like larger companies, like corporations, all have some kind of business contingency plan, but like a small business, we have a team of like 10, like, okay, like we don't ever really think about these things. So this really forced me to be like, okay, I have to like game plan for risk just in, like as a CEO, it's my job to de-risk as much as possible and make sure that when things happen, it doesn't disrupt the operations of my business.
Yeah.
So like, even shipping things to Canada, things were getting stopped at customs for like a month, you know, and we don't want to like have upset customers, right? But then we don't have control over that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's just like, so we definitely had to think through a lot of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. That's amazing.
And if anything, you just have a backup plan and then it's that, like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And first of all, you're a badass.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's a lot to go through all at one time.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, what have you learned about time management or sharpening focus during this?
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Time management, you know, for a while, it just all kind of like bled into like a continuous week of work and that can really burn you out. So I really tried to be disciplined about like how I chunked my times of working. And I like to time box things. So like if I'm in a creative flow or like filming content, I'd try to do it in like maybe an hour or a 2 hour chunk. Mm-hmm. And then take a break and then switch to maybe something else, because multitasking doesn't work.
Yes.
Like it just confuses you and it makes you inefficient.
Yeah.
So I just try to be very like, okay, client days, you know, mm-hmm. like meeting days. I need like I call it my like CEO white space day where I don't have anything planned and I just think. And that's actually when I came up with like, oh my God, I need a business contingency plan.
Yeah.
I need like all these things. And when you're like in your business executing, it's hard to strategize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is.
So I try to like build in blocks of thinking, empty space time.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. I do have a day where I kind of just work on my business and I keep it so that it can become a creative day. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm feeling a little tired from the week before, it can become more of a rest day, but it's just mm-hmm. that time that you need to allow you like your brain and just to rest and breathe so you can think out.
Yeah, exactly.
Patients.
I had a coach that experiences without time to pause and reflect can never become insight. They're just experiences. So your experiences, but you can't gain anything from it if you don't actually stop and think through like, how are we going to do that differently? Or what did that look like? Or what did I like about that?
Yeah.
So
That's great. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Okay.
Next question. And I feel like, I was going to read the next one. So any tips or tools that you're using now that you weren't before COVID, or are there any favorites that we need to know about?
So something that was implemented like in my team is I'd go around and ask them to do a thorn, bud, and rose. And I actually asked my clients that too. So we'll do this like once a week, and it's a short meeting, and it's just like for them to summarize a thorn, like what is it, what's like the challenge that they're having. The bud would be what's something that you're maybe implementing that's like starting to like develop, and the rose, like what's something that's really good that's going on. And I just let my team just everybody go through that. And so it's good for us to hear what other people are, what their thorns are, because other people might have an idea on how to address that thorn.
Yeah.
So it's like knowledge sharing. And we have, like, I have a very collaborative team. So I'm not always right, and I'm totally okay with that. And I want, you know, I'm totally okay for my team to have a better solution. So we always share, and it gives the team an opportunity just to let other people know what they're up to as well. Like shines a light on them a bit.
And I feel like that's relevant even if you don't have a team. Like calls your friends, like, hey, what's going on? Let's do our, you know, thorn, bud, rose conversation. Mm-hmm. It's nice to, like you said, even outside of an organization, people have ideas that you can't necessarily, you're in it. So that's awesome. That's a great
tip. Yeah, I love that.
Tip. Yeah. And I do that with my like mastermind group. We like talk about like, oh, what's our bud today? Or sometimes we just want to talk about wins. Like, okay, what's your rose? Like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you know, you just want to cheer your friends on and stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So I feel like I feel like you're a pretty fearless woman, but what is your biggest fear for when we go back to normal or what normal is going to be in the next few months, and how do you combat that?
So I think that's like a really sweet and amazing comment, but I would say I'm not fearless. I just, it's kind of like, Sarah Blakely from Spank, she said the same thing. Like, I'm not fearless. I'm just courageous.
Yeah.
Like, I still have fear. Like, yeah, things are scary. I just don't really focus on it. I focus on, okay, like, what can I do? I can't really control what's going to happen with COVID and things opening up or how it changes, but I can control what I do. I control about how I think about things. I can control how I set the tone for my team. Mm-hmm. And the team needs to know, like, yeah, it is a little scary, but we're brave. Like, we can do this. We as a company want to set the tone for our customers that, like, yeah, it's scary out, but, you know, like, we got this. Like, we can figure it out. We're women. Like, we figure shit out, right? So, and we're here to be, like, that comforting, girl best friend for you, you know? Yeah. So I really don't focus on fear. I just focus on what I can control and what I can do.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love how much responsibility you take for your customers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more than just the exchange of a product or a service. Oh, yeah. It's like you become invested in your customers.
Yeah. And I think you have to. Mm-hmm. I think you have to as you become a business owner.
Yeah, that's Absolutely. Awesome. So... you kind of answered the next question. We're gonna jump back in, which this is always kind of fun. I like answering this question because, and the question is, what would you tell yourself if you could talk to two back in January? And if I could tell myself, Macy, like, I feel like now January is such a different mindset than April.
Yes.
But what would you tell yourself if you could talk to her back in January?
I would say, keep an open mind, be ready to adapt and pivot, and don't get stuck in thinking too much, and just like trust your instincts and go for it, you know, and probably something about have a backup plan. Probably maybe you should develop a backup plan in January so you have a little more sense of calm and control in March, but you know, that's all part of the learning journey.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was watching a video that was sort of addressing this. Somebody was talking to themselves back in January, and it was, you know, just for a laugh, but it was funny because there was one in there that said, the woman from the future was talking to the woman in January or in last year, and she says, you know, yeah, you're really going to redefine what a big deal is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my problem in January is, like, I don't even remember what that problem is. Because that's like pre-quarantine problems, like, you know, so exactly. It's just be ready, you know.
Yeah.
Stay ready. That's a good one, just to stay ready.
I think that it would be along the same lines, like, just, it's going to be okay. Like, I would just tell myself, mm-hmm. don't worry, like, hang in there. We're going to figure it out. Things are going to change. But it does, it really put into perspective, like, what really matters, what's in our control. Mm-hmm. Our control, and those are things that I hope to carry like through the rest of the year. Like, not everything is a big deal. This has been a big deal, but not everything is.
And right, I agree.
Yeah, I really think that perspective is something that's been shifted
for sure.
That's awesome. Okay, so this kind of flows into the next question. Is there anything that has changed as a result of COVID that you're happy about personally or professionally?
Mm-hmm. Things that have changed, I would say it just really tested me as a leader and my team, as I would say, like, our industry leader. And we were able to really pivot quickly. Mm-hmm. And I was just really proud of what my team was able to do. They trusted me when I said, okay, guys, we need a new plan, and this is the direction we're going. And you just have to trust me that this is going to work out. And if it doesn't, like, it's not perfect this way, we're going to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I was really proud of my team for, like, adapting to it. And I would say, like, that kind of spirit, like, it kind of brought us closer together.
Yeah.
And that spirit of, like, teamwork and, like, okay, we're in this together. I mean, it like really tested us and, like, brought us made us closer. And like now we feel like, okay, we got through quarantine and COVID. Like we can get through, you know, other things that happen, you know, so we can do this.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Even like I was thinking back in March with my husband and I, you know, we had to kind of make a contingency plan for ourselves mm-hmm. because, you know, his job was in flux, my mm-hmm. job was in flux. And so, you know, instead of just butting heads, we really came together as like, yeah. okay, what can we do right now? And, you know, especially with finances, I know that's a really scary time right now and there's a lot of unknowns, but what can we control and yeah. where can we cut back? And I felt like so much more like he was a teammate and we were ready to kind of tackle whatever scary thing was going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. It like brings you close together because you guys, we're like trying to solve the same problem.
Yeah.
So we're just working together. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So we have one more question, and then I think we do have one audience question. So are you ready?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. What is your best piece of advice to our audience today?
Oh, my piece of advice would be to do it.
Yeah.
Get into action. If you have an idea or a project or something you want to try, just do it. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to worry about what other people are going to think. Is it going to work? The only way for you to find out is to do it. And I'm such a action person. Just go for it. And I would encourage everybody to do the same.
That's awesome. And yeah. Before you became a mom and before you started Bojen, did you ever see yourself becoming an entrepreneur?
No, like not at all. I thought I was going to be like a corporate banker of some sort further. I thought that was it, you know, like I thought that was what I was supposed to be, but wow. It totally was not. So I just kind of just learned how to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Okay, so I'm going to scroll back up here.
Yes, I think it was asking about your launch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I am Christy Judd. Mm-hmm. She says, "Two, I've heard you've put together a launch course and heard you're the person for this.
Oh.
Any details on how I can jump on that? With the budget."
Totally.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I developed a 4-week like boot camp mm-hmm. for how to launch your product. And mm-hmm. I go through everything from like what your goals and intentions are through social media, all your email marketing, paid ads, all those different elements in like a 4-week program. So that in the end of the 4 week, you can launch your product or your service. And in the link in my bio, I have a free 5-figure launch plan that kind of outlines part of it. But if you want more detail, just DM me and we can talk about whether you're up for the boot camp.
Yes, that's awesome. That's so amazing. It kind of, I mean, honestly, like after that, and with your advice of to just do it, just go forth,
yeah.
like all the fear out of it, if
yeah.
I, you know. Just going and picking your brain and taking all those secrets that you
yeah learned. Yeah and that's like the exact steps that I've used, but not just me, like my clients have used yeah. these exact steps to achieve their successful launches. And you know, having steps laid out for you and like a roadmap takes away a lot of, you're right, like a lot of that fear, like okay, well I just follow this
yeah
and
yeah.
then I just do what you say and I'll follow it and then right, and then I should have the courage and everything to launch.
Awesome. And I think right now, too, even though it may seem counterintuitive, like e-commerce online, it is popping.
Because it's totally popping, yeah.
So much more than I expected.
Yeah. And
so it's not the wrong time just because we're going through this. It might yeah. be even better.
Exactly. It's like the perfect time.
Yes, awesome. Well, is there anything else you want
no,
to add?
No, thank you yeah. so much.
Thank you so much, ladies. This was a great conversation.
We appreciate yeah. you. And
of course.
Lake Nona area. So she is such a positive, influential member in the She Hustles community.
Yeah.
Too. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
So grateful for your time and appreciate you sharing your experience and insight in our community. We'll drop all of your links in the next stories. And then if you're listening on the podcast, we'll drop in the links in the description of the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, ladies.
Thank you so much for joining, guys. All right. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions you want answered,
and we mean any questions,
dial 407-477-5211 night or day and leave a message. Then listen to our podcast to hear it answered.
Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe.
Until next time, keep up your hustle.